Amen. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice together in the Word of God. And so you have your Bibles, my friends. Take your scriptures. And let's go to the book of Matthew. We'll start there. Matthew chapter 8. And the title of this afternoon's message, No Matter What. No matter what. This is an exhortation how Christians, you and I, can actually be thankful to God. Not just think about being thankful, but to exhibit that thankfulness. Of course, Thanksgiving was, we know is a wonderful time. Thankful for that. We have so much to be thankful for. But may we never forget, of course, the true reason of Thanksgiving is the Lord, the person of God himself. Thanksgiving, of course, a reminder, the word thanksgiving, to literally give thanks to God, not just intermittently here and there, not just occasional instances of us thanking God, which I'm guilty of, and I don't thank God heartily enough. But not just when I get a near miss on the highway, then I give God, may it not be, is it an EKG, what do you call it? The heart monitor, you have, thank you, Lord. And then you go through some period, no thanks. And then something happens, thank you, Lord. And then, thank you, Lord. May it always be at the top, right? At the plateau, just thanking God nonstop, continually, instead of intermittently, may it be a lifestyle. Day in, day out of continual thanksgiving. May that be our heart's desire. And we're going to look at the account of Jesus healing, actually, three people in the testimony here in Matthew. So let's go to the book of Matthew. So three different accounts of Jesus healing three different people. And what we can observe, kind of our takeaway from this, how we as Christians can do the same in being thankful to God. And so Matthew chapter 8. Let's go to verse 1. And the Word of God says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. Thank you, Father, for this house of prayer. Thank you for the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we can pray to you, worship you, and we have been reconciled to you, Lord. What an awesome thought, Lord. And we pray, Father, that your word will have free course today through the Holy Spirit. Speak to hearts, Lord, and that you be glorified from this, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we always be thankful and give thanks to you, all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So more than just a emotional feeling, truly thanksgiving of us giving thanks to God, more than just praising God here and there, true thanksgiving to God is characterized by a thankful life that is observable. Not just, I'm thankful on the inside. If we truly are thankful on the inside, it will be observable on the outside. And if we are really thankful for God for who he is, what he has done to save us, to love us, to forgive us, to adopt us, to seal us, to elect us, and guarantee we will be glorified with him in glory, to give us eternal life, to prepare us a mansion in heaven, to reign with him. All these blessings, if we are truly thankful, we should respond to Jesus, to the Lord, Lord willing, the same way that these three people here do. Number one, we'll see the leper here, the leper that Jesus heals. And what's amazing is, what does the leper do as soon as we read about this? And so verse 1, when he came, Jesus, after the Sermon on the Mount, and then chapter 8 starts, when he came down from the mountain there, a great multitude followed him. So, you may know the background. Jesus had been preaching. There's been a whole crowd of people, and so now he's coming down, and the whole crowd kind of follows with him. So there's quite a group going down. And then, of course, you have the lone, or the leper who, again, because of leprosy, he is an outcast. Now, leprosy, of course, pictures sin as a type of sin where only Jesus can cure. That's the idea. Without divine intervention, those with leprosy, it's God's going to be the one that heals them. And, of course, leprosy pictures sin that separates. Of course, being leper, you go to live in a leper colony. That's always tough. Doesn't matter how old you are. You get leprosy, you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be cast out. And so away from your wife or husband, family, that you're going to live in your own place with the other lepers. So sin, pictured by leprosy, brings separation. Of course, God reconciles. And so you have this leper, he comes to Jesus. So again, Jesus receiving the outcast, Jesus receiving the lonesome, you know, the worrisome, the alone. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord." And the very first thing that we are introduced with Mr. Leper when he comes on the stage here is he worshipped Jesus. He worshipped the Lord. And that was who Jesus was to him. He worshipped Jesus, but to him, Jesus was the Lord, because he calls him Lord. Okay, so that's, he sees Jesus, he knows that he's Lord, and the very first thing he does is he worships the Lord. A little side note here, again, another one of the many instances Jesus is, without any doubt, God in human form. If Jesus was not God, it would be a sin to worship him, right? It would be idolatry. Jesus received worship. The first commandment, we know, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." But Jesus is God, so it's not just not a sin to worship him, it's proper to worship him. And so that's what he does. But notice he comes to Jesus. Jesus is his Lord, so he worships him. And then what happens here? Saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now, just two kind of a takeaways for me. Number one, I do appreciate the leper acknowledging the Lord, his sovereignty. He knows Jesus can heal him. That's not an issue. That's not debatable. But it's whether Jesus wants to. And this is a very humble ask. It's a very humble prayer request. He says, "Lord, if thou wilt," he knows Jesus can. He says, "if it's your will." If you want to, you don't have to. I mean, you're sovereign, you're God, you're the Lord. If you don't want to, then I'm okay. You don't need to. But if you will, if you'd be so gracious to, just give me a little blessing of healing from this leprosy. I miss my family. I'd like to go home to them. I don't like being a leper. It hurts. I just lost two fingers, got eight left. I mean, whatever the case is, it says, "Lord, you don't have to, but if you'd be so gracious to do it, I know you can." So he knew God could do essentially anything and heal his leprosy. But it's up to God if God wanted to. So that's one. He's acknowledging God's sovereignty. He knows that he's not even a factor in that decision-making process. You know, he's praying, "God, please consider me, but you don't have to. It's your will be done." But then number two, the leper, notice this, he worships Jesus at the start, not knowing if Jesus will answer his prayer or not. Okay, so don't miss this. He says, "If you can heal me, you can. It's up to you, it's up to you, Lord." But no matter what, Jesus responds to that request. He's worshiping the Lord. Because only in Jesus, in verse 3, it says, "Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will." Now, he's already worshiping the Lord. But it's not as though he said, "Lord, if you heal my leprosy first, then I'll worship you." He didn't say that. Jesus was Lord. He's going to worship him no matter what. It wasn't contingent. It wasn't, if you bless me, then okay, then I'll worship you, kind of a tit for tat. It wasn't in fact, he did not think that way. Of course, says, "I will, be thou clean." Jesus heals him, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I mean, that's great. He knew Jesus would heal him instantly, which is what happened. And praise God for that. The Lord was obliged to do that. You know, he wanted to do that. But he was going to worship the Lord no matter what the outcome. And so number one takeaway for us, if we are truly thankful to God, let us worship God no matter what. Let us think like this leper here. Certainly, he's a lot to be thankful for. But he's not worshiping the Lord because the Lord healed him. He worshiped the Lord because he's Lord. God is God. Doesn't come what may. The leper did not think the way that maybe it's easy for me to think in my flesh. "God, if you bless me, then I'll worship you." You know who thinks that way? Satan. Because that's what Satan said to God, accusing Job of his worship, right? Satan said, "Yeah, the only reason why Job worships you is because you paid him off. You bribed him with all these blessings. Of course he's going to worship you." But Job thought like this leper. Job would have done it no matter what. God knows that. That's why God blessed him. And so may we have that mindset, number one, worship God no matter what. praise God, the leprosy was cleansed, was healed. Verse 4, and Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift of Moses, that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. This is the Levitical law, how to deal with the leprosy. You know, Jesus cleansed him, but he still needed to be reinstated by Levitical law. The priest had to, you know, check him over. Like, yeah, don't see any more spots. I guess you're good to re-enter society. Here's your pass. I mean, you know, he had to do that and do it that way. The idea is, even with this miracle, he still wanted the leper to testify of what God has done for him. That's our takeaway. I mean, we don't have this circumstance per se, but whatever God has blessed us with, the Lord wants us to testify of that to others. That's kind of a bonus takeaway, you know. And so worship the Lord no matter what, how he has blessed us. If he has blessed us, it's not for me to withhold worship until he blesses us. But what he has blessed us, use that for a testimony, right? And so that worship him no matter what. And as God blesses us, that's our testimony to others. Number two, now Jesus is going to heal the centurion's servant. So this is the second person that he heals. And so verse 5, so what happens next? And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. All right. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible here with this Mr. Centurion. What's so amazing about this encounter is the centurion's faith is more than what Jesus requires. I mean, this is pretty awesome. I mean, usually, you know, they need so much faith, you know, and Jesus commends them, your faith has made thee whole. You know, they kind of met the requirement of faith. Remember desperate dad, his faith wasn't quite there. Lord, I believe, help them, I unbelieve. Lord, I trust you even to make up the difference. And here, Jesus, when the centurion says, hey, my beloved servant is home, he's sick, he's in pain, can you heal him? Jesus says, okay, let's go. And he says, oh, it's okay, Lord, you don't even have to come. You know, so, you know, he's even more than what the Lord was requiring per se from that standpoint. And so how can the centurion even be thinking this? Well, of course, the centurion, he's a Roman soldier, centurion from centuries. So he commands 100 soldiers. He's got 100 soldiers under him that do his bidding. Whatever he wants, they do. They're waiting in line just to do his every command. And so he shares with Jesus his heart, where he is coming from. You know, because, you know, he tells Jesus in verse 8, just speak the word, Lord, and it'll happen. But then he goes on in verse 9 to tell Jesus kind of where he's coming from. And so he understands the chain of command. He understands authority and sovereignty. So let's go to verse 9. It says, for I am a man under authority. So he says, hey, this is, I get it. He uses himself as his personal experience, right? It's got to be a personal experience for us to get it, for us to understand. Having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he what? Goeth. And to another, come, and he what? Cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he what? Doeth it. And so whatever his word is, happens. And so just, by the way, imagine if you had 100 soldiers, you know, like 100 football players, just real, you know, just real jacked, tough guys, armor. Imagine you had control of 100 soldiers that would do anything you want. Like, wow, what would you have them do? Like, oh, can you shovel my sidewalk, my drive? Oh, that'd be pretty nice. Yes, sir. Wow, that's pretty good. Can you do this? Yes, sir. Can you change it? Yes, sir. Can you mow my lawn? Yes, sir. Wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, imagine if you had 100 soldiers at your fingertips waiting for your beck and call to do whatever you wanted. And so that's how he had it. But now, even then, okay, don't start. Let's get back to reality here. Okay, but even then, the centurion knew that he was completely unworthy. Even though he had 100 soldiers under him, he's completely unworthy to even have an audience with God after God has extended it. Jesus says, "I'll go to your house." It's not that he didn't say, yeah, you better come. I mean, he didn't say that, okay? He didn't say, yeah, you're right, you better come. He said, no, I'm not even worthy for you. He knows the chain of command. This is what he understands. He gets the chain of command, and he understands that Jesus, the Lord, is sovereign over all creation. And if he, a sinner, can command 100 soldiers, whatever he says, come, you come, go, do this, do that, they do it. Just like that, whatever Jesus commands will happen. He understands the sovereignty of the Lord. He gets this. And so Jesus replies in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he's like, this guy's got it. He marveled. I mean, this is one of the few times Jesus was super impressed. I mean, he's not a respecter of persons, but he sees the faith, and so he calls it like it is. You know, it's not weak faith. It's, well, great faith. So he's ranking, he's grading his faith. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow. So what an example. So he's not even telling the centurion. He wants to go with the centurion. The centurion says, well, actually, Lord, you don't even have to say this because, you know, and he's kind of explaining why. And then Jesus marveled and he kind of says, everyone, listen up. I mean, he kind of object lesson here. Look at this centurion. Jesus says to everyone else that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So he commends the centurion's faith. Like, this guy's got it. And if you take the word of God at face value, like we should, not found so great faith. I mean, he's at least within Israel. Such powerful faith. Again, the faith is not in himself because he's completely unworthy. His faith is in the Lord, his sovereign God. So he knows this, and Jesus commends him. And again, when he says, no, not in Israel, he's a Gentile centurion. He's not Jewish. And the idea is, of all the people that should have faith in him, it should be at least his own people, his own kin, his own, you know, Jewish people. But it's not. It's this Gentile guy. Just like this leper who was outcast, he had faith to be healed. But he worshipped God no matter what. And this Gentile guy, I mean, he believed. No matter what, no matter how impossible the circumstance, through healing, through distance, he believed, no matter what, which is our point number two. If we are truly thankful for who God is, we will believe in him no matter what. Number one, worship no matter what. Number two, believe no matter what. And even though our background or our circumstance may not be where we would think we can have such great faith, that's okay. No one would have ever guessed that the one of great faith in Israel would be a Gentile centurion. He would not have been in the top 10 list of any theological commentator. They might have put themselves up on that list. They might put, I mean, if I was a citizen in Jerusalem, I would, if someone asked me, who do you think the most faithful, had the greatest faith, I would probably go, I don't know, Caiaphas, you know, one of the high priests, or, you know, one of these guys, right? But who would say this centurion? And so that is an encouragement for you and I. It doesn't matter who we are, where we are, how we are, we can have great faith if we get it. If we truly understand that God is sovereign, trust in him, it's his will be done. And so this is what Jesus preaches on in verse 11. He expounds on this centurion as an example, because look at this. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, Middle East where they are, all the way to, I like to think, the Oriental East, and the west, you know, go west, young man, right? So, you know, Europe, you know, Americas, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I mean, these are all these Gentiles that are going to be rubbing elbows with the patriarchs. Because everyone knows Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these guys got faith, and they do, but they're all Jewish, they're Hebrew. But you're going to have these Gentiles, because of faith, that they're kind of hanging out, they're on the same group. That's amazing. That's the power of faith, trust in God, in the kingdom of heaven. What a blessing, a wonderful get-together. But the children of the kingdom, these are the national Jews, those that God had called and given them the promised land. That was a national blessing, which, you know, which really is a bonus to the spiritual blessing. So it should have been a no-brainer for Israel to receive her Savior, but sadly they rejected Jesus. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whenever you read weeping and gnashing of teeth, it is always a reference to hell. And these are the ones that you think shouldn't go there, but because of no faith, they reject Jesus. That's where they're going, along with every other Gentile who rejects. But the idea is, again, your circumstances might not have been favorable, but you can always have great faith. Believe no matter what. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. So he, yeah, sounds good. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. What a blessing. Now, third person Jesus heals. This is Peter's mother-in-law. Okay, so his wife's mom. Not a lot is said about her, but we have this few verses here, plus what Mark and Luke tell us as well. So, point number three through this healing of his mother-in-law, verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. So that's hard. You know, poor mom, laid up and in pain, so sick and so weak that she, in fact, if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account, she's so sick and weak and in pain with a fever, she does not even have strength or capacity to ask the Lord for healing. I mean, she's just there suffering. She's just in pain. She's just there hurting. Jesus sees her. And if you read Mark and Luke's account, it's actually the family members or the other disciples that besought Jesus, asked Jesus to heal her. But she doesn't do it herself. She's just in no shape to even ask. She's just in pain. But others come up to intercede. They ask Jesus to heal her, and he does. And so, you know, we'll see what happened in verse 15. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. All right, that's wonderful. But then notice what the rest of the verse says. And she arose and what? Ministered unto them. That's amazing. She got up and started serving. And so point number three for us, real, you know, real easy here. If we are truly thankful to God, serve no matter what. Serve till you can't serve. But as best as you can, serve no matter what. She served them. Why? Because she loved her family. She loved them. She was thankful for each and every one of them. Kind of reminds me of my mother-in-law. you know, whenever I would visit the family, she would always serve me. Always kind of felt weird about that, because she was a very gracious host. But she loved to serve. Even when her health was failing, she still served. Couldn't play the piano as well as she could with one arm broken in a sling, but she would play for the Lord during service with just one hand, maybe even one finger at some point. I don't remember, but love serving. Serve no matter what. The only reason why she didn't first do it when they first came in, and you think any good hosts would, you know, people could, I mean, if Jesus came to your house, I mean, yeah, straighten up, oh, come on in, you know, but she was too weak, too sick, too in pain, couldn't do it, physically couldn't do it. But as soon as the Lord healed her, up she goes, and she's serving. Here's my takeaway. God gave me health to serve him, not myself. If you have health, if you have half a health, if you're alive, whatever you can do, serve God no matter what. Worship no matter what. Believe no matter what, regardless of how impossible the circumstance. Oh, my servant is halfway crazy. No. Believe no matter what. God can do it. He's sovereign. And then serve no matter what. By the way, kind of a final bonus takeaway here. In two of the three accounts, the centurion's servant and the mother-in-law, it was the prayers of others that worked. That's awesome. You know, because sometimes I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I have faith for the leper, you know, but and that's great. The leper asked for himself. But with the servant, it was his master that asked. His boss. Well, he must have been a really good servant. That's all I can say. He must be a really good servant for his boss to ask the Lord to heal him. That's what a testimony. It doesn't just have to be within family family bounds. It can go beyond that. Social, any relation, right? What a blessing if anyone would care enough about you to extend prayers for you. And then with Peter's mother-in-law, it was the disciples that did it. You know, the family that did it. And so don't discount your prayers for others. Pray for them. God can still answer. Pray for ourselves, but pray for others. God can still answer. Worship God no matter what, even before he would answer our prayers, if you so choose. Believe in God no matter what, no matter how impossible the situation might be. Serve God no matter what, no matter how rotten I feel until I absolutely can't. just keep going. To God be the glory. May we truly be thankful. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a reminder. What a thought, Lord. Just as you have blessed us, may we truly have this thanksgiving, thankful list of things that we are thankful for. The Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation. Lord, your mercy, your goodness. Lord, and may we not take anything for granted. May we truly, Lord, just praise you, for you are worthy. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What do we sing?